In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, unto the age of all ages, Amen. As you know, that the Lord Jesus Christ spent about how many years with His disciples? Well, three years and a bit. And during those years, He was teaching them, and He was making them disciples. Because, as you know, later on in Matthew 28, He says to them, go to the whole world, go to the nations, and make disciples. And so He was making disciples in those 3 years. His teachings were not cold teachings. They weren't just textbook-like material. But He taught them by modeling a life before them. And isn't that what the church teaches us? We learn from our servants, we learn from Abuna, we learn from those who are around us, we learn from our parents. How? From their teachings only? Or first we learn from their lives? From their lives. And if their teaching is contrary to their lives, we're in trouble. And so the Lord actually, as St. Luke says in the book of Acts, St. Luke says, I am telling you about what the Lord did and taught. So there is a life in the church. And so the Lord had so many schools. One time they saw Him pray. He never gathered them, at least not to our knowledge, gathered His disciples, say, come, let me teach you how to pray. But He prayed before them. And when He prayed before them, they were very attracted to Him, to His modeling of prayer. And so, after He finished praying one time, they said to Him, Rabbi, teach us how to pray. We want to pray like You. And so He had so many schools, our Lord. He had a school called the School of the Mountain. And on the mountain, He used to teach the multitudes the principles of Christian living. He said to them, love your enemies, pray for those who revile you. And He said to them, guard yourselves and your hearts from lust. And He also had another school called the School of the Sea, when He used to gather at the sea and He used to teach the multitudes about His authority and about faith and about repentance. And today, in the eve of the Great Friday or Good Friday, we see the school of Gethsemane. And in the school of Gethsemane, our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us many lessons. We're going to talk about three in English and maybe three in Arabic. So the three lessons that He teaches us, one has to do with what do we do when we face troubles? Have you faced troubles? No? Of course, right? So I think this lesson is something we need to learn. What do we do when we face troubles? The second lesson had to do with how do we live? And the third one, what attitude should we have towards other people? So those are the three lessons. Number one, what do we do when we are facing troubles? Number two, how to live, or how are we supposed to live? And number three, what attitude should we have towards other people? In John chapter 18, and you've heard this passage tonight, it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, He went out with His disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which He and His disciples entered. And then it said, Jesus often met there with His disciples. What key word are you hearing here? Is there a word that catches your attention? Let me read it again. When Jesus had spoken these words, He went out with His disciples over the brook Kedron, a certain area, where there was a garden, which He and His disciples entered. Jesus often met there with His disciples. Often. It tells you that Jesus used to go to that particular place regularly. Gethsemane was a garden full of grass, and it was at the bottom end of Mount Olivet. And this was a special place where Jesus would take quiet time, would go there for a retreat, for just a quiet time. This was not a place for the multitude. This was not a place to meet up with people. Although He came for people, He came to save the world, but this place was only for Himself and His disciples. It's not a busy place. It's not a crowded place. It is not a place to gather with others. It was a quiet place where Jesus prayed. And here is a spiritual lesson for all of us. When trouble comes, and you know that Jesus was about, our Lord Jesus Christ was about to face the worst troubles ever. And here is a lesson for all of us. Although He Himself is God incarnate, but yet in the flesh, as a human, He is teaching us something. When trouble comes, when you are going through a difficult time, when there is a lot of hardship that you are foreseeing, do not go and sit with people. Go and sit with God. This is the first lesson. When you are in trouble or when you anticipate problems, don't seek solutions among humans. First, seek a quiet time of prayer before God. When in trouble, many of us, we run to people, especially people that have helped us in the past. And that's fine. But the lesson to be learned, before you go to another person, go into your room, close your door, and pray to your Heavenly Father, who is the Pantocrator. Pantocrator means what? Almighty means what? He holds everything in His hands. Sometimes we think that our troubles will go away when people will give us less of a hard time. And sometimes, in a way, we fall into the bondage of people. People can take us up, and people can take us down. And to be very honest, I think at one point in our lives, all of us have had this experience where we almost became enslaved to the opinion of others. And this is very dangerous. God said, when you're in trouble, come to Me. This is not a time, as I said, is not a time for people. And Jesus was preparing for His death. And some would say He should have met with His relatives. Imagine with me, someone who's dying. Someone who's dying would say, okay, might as well meet up with whom? With my family. Might as well meet up with my relatives. Say my goodbyes. But Jesus is teaching us that at a critical time, let's say our time of departure, is not a time to be crowded by people, but it is a time to be with God. A story goes, a man was passing away, and I got a call, said so-and-so is dying. Can you come and see him in the emergency? And I said, for sure, I'm coming right away. And I went in there, and this man knew he was dying. He knew he was dying. They told him there were complications, it happened so quickly, and he was told, and the family was told, this man was dying. It's a matter of hours, and it happened so quickly. And I stood there, and everyone was around him, and I opened up the Igbaya and I began to pray. We prayed the compliant prayer together. And this man had oxygen, he was semi-conscious, and when we started to pray the compliant in the room, he began to pray with us. We say, Holy God, Holy Mighty, and he would go like this. Not as strong as I would, but he would go like this. And the last few minutes of his life, it was a prayer from the Igbaya. Do you think you would wish for any better? Do you want to end life praying or end life talking with people? Praying. We also learned that Jesus in Gethsemane was very sorrowful. As you've read today, as you heard today, He said, I am very sorrowful, I'm very sad to the point of death. His own disciple, His own disciple Judas is betraying him. You wonder, why are you sad, Lord? Put yourself in Jesus' place. One of your disciples who holds the money box, so he's supposed to be very honest. Is the irony of this whole thing is, this is the one man who's supposed to be very honest, actually end up betraying the Lord and backstabbing him. And he's about to meet up with Peter, who told him, Peter, you are the rock. This rock is going to deny him and is going to swear and curse that he doesn't know him. And the Jews, his own people, he came for them and he came from them. And the Romans, whom he created and wanted to save, are going to execute his punishment. There's a lot of cheating, deception, and unfairness. How do you do with unfairness? Unfairness kills us, doesn't it? We don't like it. It makes us feel oppressed when we are treated unfairly. And here Jesus, our Lord, is meeting up with unfairness. And in all of this, Jesus is teaching us, go and pray. And go and pray not once. You've heard how Jesus went in and out of prayer how many times? 3 times. Don't go and pray once and say, well, nothing happened. Keep praying. Keep going into this prayer room and this quiet time. And do not leave until you say, like Jesus said, it is enough. I am done. It is enough. I have taken the power that I needed from my Father. Even though Jesus and the Father are one, but He's giving us an example. Stay in prayer until you feel you're okay. Even though your troubles haven't changed, but you are okay. The second thing that we learn from our Lord is how to live. St. John says to us that Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon Him, Jesus knowing all things that were coming upon Him, do you know some of the things that are coming upon you? I know we're not God, so we don't know everything. But do you know one thing that is coming upon you? What is one thing that is coming upon all of us? Death. But do we live as though one day we will die? In fact, most people live as though they'll never die. Isn't that interesting? We all know we're dying. But we live and we fight, and we lose our temper, and we lose our peace, as if we're going to stay in this world forever. And we fight over money, and over inheritance, and over so many things, and over our own ego, when we know that all our life is like smoke, like vapor that appears a little bit, and then disappears. And we all, when we hear these words, we all say, yes, that is true. And then go and live as if it's not true. It is so funny. It's so funny how we live. Jesus knew what was coming upon Him, the cross. And so He lived in a certain way. And this is the second lesson. How do you live? Do you live knowing very well that one day, and no one knows that day, but one day you will also die? And you live as if, as though you know very well that you're going to stand before the just judge, and your heart will be open, and everything that you and I are hiding in here is going to be made known to God and to everyone. I think enough for masks, because those masks are going to go out when we stand before the just judge. Look at Christ and how strong He stood before His executioners. Look at the martyrs of Libya, the ones we've very recently lived in the era where people like that stood very strong while they were beheading them. And we say, how? How are they strong? There is power from God that comes upon people who are living and knowing that at one point they're going to die. St. Arsenius, on his deathbed, you know St. Arsenius? He was the teacher of the kings and the princes, yes? And he used not to talk much, but on his deathbed, his disciples found him crying. And they were so astonished. They said to him, "Father, now you are crying?" He said to them, "All my life, I have been working very hard and waiting for this moment. Wouldn't I cry now that this moment is here?" So my question to you and my question to myself, do we live as people who are waiting for that day? Because I know that our life will change if this becomes our worldview. If the way we look at life as a temporary time, our life, the way we live our life will change. The third lesson. So the first one was, do you recall the first one? What do you do when you are in trouble? You do what? You pray. And you stay in prayer. And you don't go to people. First, you go to God. And you don't come out until you say, it's enough. The second lesson, how to live. To live as people who know very well what's coming upon us. Death is coming upon us. And so to keep that moment in front of us at all times will change the way we live. The third lesson is, what's our attitude towards other people? There's a great lesson that Jesus gives us here. When they came to take him in Gethsemane, Jesus of Nazareth, he said to them, "Who are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Jesus of Nazareth." What did he say? He said, "I am he." And then, you know the story, they fell down, they came and asked again. And then he said to them, "If you seek me, let these go." This immediately tells us what's on Jesus' mind all the time. Salvation. Redemption. How to save others. And in that there is a lesson for you and I. Do we have that attitude towards people? Walking around thinking, how can I save people? Not how can I stumble people. How can I save people? How can I live in such a way that I always care about my brother and my sister's salvation? All the soldiers, Judas, the chief priests, are very malicious. And they are here with a very bad agenda against you, Lord. And all that you care about is the safety of your disciples. Not your own, but theirs. And we as Christians should also have the same ideology, the same attitude to save others and to carry others' burdens. And this attitude we ought to have towards our parents. We should have this attitude towards our parents. How can we help our parents? How we can save them the trouble of the rest of the day, rather than what the world teaches us, I, me, myself, what I want doesn't matter what everybody else wants. There are people who are just who they are, and they expect everyone to conform to them. And there are people who sometimes they say, you know what, it's okay, I'll let go of this for the sake of somebody else. There is someone who's rigid, and there's someone who is with wisdom flexible, so that it is not I who live and the rest doesn't matter. No, there is a sense of I care, there is a sense of saving others. Let us put all these three lessons before us. What do we do when we are in trouble? We go to pray. And we stay in prayer, and we don't come out until God has filled us with strength and changed us. Maybe not the situation, but us. The second lesson that we learn, what was the second lesson? How to live. We live knowing that death is coming upon us, and therefore our life will change. Our goals will change. The way we deal with people will change. And the third lesson, the attitude, an attitude of saving others, of caring for others. في رسالة تانية أو تعليم تاني قدمه لنا السيد المسيح. نلاحظ لما جه لما جم يقبضوا عليه بطرس الرسول عمل إيه؟ طلع سكين وراح قاطع ودن ملخص. فالسيد المسيح بص له كده، هو انت بقالك معايا كم سنة؟ 3 سنين. ما سمعتنيش بقول احبوا اعدائكم؟ انا بتخيل يعني انه الموقف احيانا يخلي الانسان مننا يعمل ايه؟ يتفاعل بسرعة جدا وينسى كل التعليم اللي تعلمها فين؟ في الكنيسة. لكن السيد المسيح بيقول اللي انا بعلمه اعيشه، واللي اعيشه اعلمه. يمكن دي نقطة قلناها في الاول، انه اكتر حاجة تعلم الناس مننا هي حياتنا مش كلامنا. الناس بتنسى الكلام، لكن الناس بتفتكر الانسان ده كان عايش ازاي. هنا السيد المسيح بيقول انا مش راجل وعظ وبس، لا، انا اساسا اللي بوعظه بنفذه. فده قدامنا رسالة، هل عايشين اللي بنعلمه؟ كلنا بنعلم على فكرة، مش بس الكاهن ولا الخادم، كلنا بنعلم. هل عايشين اللي بنعلمه؟ وهل بنعلم اللي عايشينه؟ المسيح واضح جدا يقول لبطرس أنا وعظت على الجبل أحب أعدائكم، ودلوقتي أنا حوري لك بالفعل يعني إيه تحب عدوك. وراح واخد كده حط إيديه على ودان العبد وشفاه. كلمة جميلة تانية يقولها السيد المسيح، يقول الكأس الذي أعطاني الآب ألا أشربها. يعني إيه الكأس دي؟ الكأس دي عبارة عن الألم والصليب والمتاعب والإهانة واللي هيحصل، يعني كل اللي هيحصل للسيد المسيح. كل ده حصل، مين اللي عمله في المسيح؟ اليهود، الرومان، إحنا. لكن المسيح يشوف إيه؟ الكأس الذي أعطاني الآب. أحيانا إحنا نركز على في المشكلة على الناس اللي جايبه لنا المشكلة. المسيح هنا بيعلمنا إيه؟ إن كان في مشكلة دخلنا فيها، نبص لربنا اللي ورا الإيه؟ المشكلة. هو الآب، هو الآب اللي حرك الناس دي التحريك الصعب ده؟ لا، لكن طالما الآب سامح يبقى المسيح يقول إيه؟ الكأس الذي أعطاني الآب ألا أشربها. فهنا نتعلم من السيد المسيح إزاي ما يصعبش علينا من الظلم ومن غش الناس. دول الناس اللي احنا شايفينهم، لكن في أي تجربة أو في أي ضيقة أحاول أنسى الناس وأركز على الكأس وعلى أيدين ربنا اللي سمح بهذا الكأس. يقول لبطرس دخل سيفك. هو أنا ما أقدرش أن أنا أستدعي 12 جيش من الملائكة. فهنا بيعلم بطرس يقول له خليك، خلي عينيك شايفة أنه كل حاجة بسماح ربنا. يمكن دي نقطة محتاجين نتعلمها كتير، إزاي أنه كل حاجة في حياتنا مهما بدت صعبة ومهما كانت من شرور الناس، لكن مين برضو اللي سامح بيها؟ ربنا. إذن ربنا ضابط الكل، عارف كل حاجة، وإما كانش الأمور تتغير أنا إيه؟ أنا أتغير. ممكن التجربة دي تعمل فيا إيه؟ تزكيني. ممكن التجربة دي تقوي إيماني. ممكن التجربة دي تقربني من ربنا. كل الأشياء تعمل معا للخير. درس تاني ناخده يمكن بعد جسماني بشوية، نسمع عن القديس بطرس يقول تبع المسيح أو تبع وراء المسيح عن إيه؟ عن بعد. يعمل إيه اللي يتبع المسيح عن بعد؟ يحصل له إيه؟ يحصل له حاجات وحشة كتير. هنا واضح إن هو ماشي وراء المسيح، أو برضو قال إيه أشوف ربنا هيحصل له إيه، نهتم بيه نشوف إيه الموضوع. لكن اللي يتبع عن بعد، يعني لو أنا مسيحي كده بتبع ربنا من بعيد لبعيد، ممكن يحصل لي إيه بعد شوية؟ ممكن أفطر، أبعد، إيماني يضعف، ممكن بعد كده أنكره. فنتعلم اللي يتبع المسيح يتبعه زي القديس يوحنا. القديس يوحنا دخل معاه لغاية جوه، لغاية جوه المحاكمة، وبعد كده كان معاه عند الصليب. فهنا نتعلم انه حياتنا كمسيحيين ما تنفعش تكون حياة يعني نص نص. ما ينفعش اكون انا بتبع المسيح او باجي في المناسبات او باجي احضر مرة في الكنيسة في الاسبوع وباقي الاسبوع ايه شيء تاني خالص عن بعد. لا، ربنا عاوزنا كلنا نقرب. مفيش حد معين هو ده اللي يقرب، لا، الكل ايه يقرب. اللي يقرب من المسيح ربنا يقوي ايمانه ويثبته. اخر نقطة تتقال في جسيماني، ان السيد المسيح اخذ ثلاثة من الرسل، اخذ ثلاثة من التلاميذ معاه. هم مين؟ بطرس ويعقوب ويوحنا. دول كانوا معاه فين تاني؟ كانوا معاه في التجلي. نفس الثلاثة اللي طلعوا معاه في التجلي يدخلوا معاه في ايه؟ عمق اكتر للصلاة. ويمكن لما يكونوا اقرب ليه يشوفوا اكتر الامه. لو كانوا صحيين هم طبعا من الحزن ناموا، واحيانا الانسان من الحزن ينام يصحى يلاقي المشكلة هي مفيش حاجة اتغيرت. يا اما ياكل من الحزن فيحصل له ايه؟ ينتفخ، مش كده؟ خطر جدا. يا اما يعمل ايه تالت؟ لو حزين جدا يلجأ زي ما قلنا للايه؟ للناس. المسيح لما يجي يحزن حتى الموت يدخل وينفرد ويدخل ويصلي وياخد معاه ثلاث تلاميذ. الثلاثة دول عاوز يقول ايه؟ اللي عاوز يشوف مجدي لازم برضو يمر ويشوف بايه؟ ألامي. فما فيش مجد بدون ألم، وما فيش مجد بدون تعب. فإن كنا بنتعب أو الدنيا صعبة علينا شوية أو ماشيين عكس التيار، ما نزعلش وما نخافش وما نقولش ليه يا رب، لأن دي عاملة زي إكويجن كده ملهاش حل غير كده. اللي عاوز يشوف المجد لازم يتألم، اللي عاوز يشوف المجد والكرامة من عند ربنا لازم إيه؟ يتعب. وده درس آخر نتعلمه من جسيماني. ربنا يدينا إن إحنا ناخد الدروس دي ونفكر فيها. نقول لربنا إحنا عاوزين نبقى committed ليك، مش عاوزين زي ما بيقولوا كده كلام الليل مدهون إيه؟ زبدة، مش كده؟ يصبح الصبح يروح. انتوا عارفين انه الابحاث بتقول انه لو الانسان ما خدش قرار بعد سماع كلمة او حضوره الاجتماع في خلال 3 ساعات عمره ما هياخد القرار. اذا دلوقتي من الدروس اللي احنا سمعناها دي، كل واحد فينا ايه القرار اللي هياخده؟ ايه القرار اللي ياخده يحطه في ايدين المسيح ويقول له يا رب انا عاوز اتغير في ده من الدروس اللي انت عطتها لنا في جسيماني، لان انا عاوز اكون committed، عاوز اجري معاك، عاوز اجري معاك. اختم بقصة طريفة، هي يعني فاني شوية بس حقيقية، يعني حصلت في كنيسة كاثوليكية. الكاهن كان عاوز يعني يشجع الناس شوية، فقال لهم انتوا عارفين ان احنا عاوزين نمشي مع ربنا، مين عاوز يمشي مع ربنا؟ فالشمامسة حبوا يشجعوا ابونا شويه فقالوا له ايه؟ لا نمشي مع ربنا، نمشي. فقال لهم كويس. لا الشمامسة اتشجعت فقال لهم انتوا عارفين احنا بعد ما نمشي شويه مع ربنا لا احنا عاوزين نجري. عاوزين ايه؟ نجري. فالشمامسة والشعب اتشجعوا قالوا له ايه؟ نجري نجري. وبعدين قال لهم بس بعد ما نجري عاوزين نطير، عاوزين نطير، عاوزين نطير. فتشجعوا كل الكنيسة قالت ايه؟ دي قصة فعلا حصلت. قالوا له ايه؟ نطير نطير، ما نطيرش ليه؟ نطير. فقال لهم بس عشان نطير احنا محتاجين شوية فلوس. قالوا له نحبي نحبي نحبي. لما بيجي الواحد هيساكرفايس ممكن ان هو يعمل ايه؟ يرجع. لا، ربنا عاوز ان احنا ناخد قرار. عاوز نمشي مع ربنا، عاوز تجري مع ربنا، عاوز تطير مع ربنا زي ما بنسمع عن القديسين، يبقى لما تيجي بقى في sacrifice معين، طبعا مش فلوس، لكن لما في sacrifice حاجة حضغط على نفسي عشان أعملها، ما أقولوش لا كفاية أن أنا إيه أحبي. ربنا يدينا من نعمته، لإلهنا كل مجد وكرامة من الآن وإلى الأبد.